Director Koretz.
Here.
Director Leahy. Director O'Connor.
Here.
Director O'Leary.
Present.
Director Rosenfeld.
Here.
Director Rosendahl.
Present.
Director Wesson. Chair Yaslovsky.
Here.
Quorum is present.
All right. First order of business is approval of the minutes of the January 5th meeting. Is there any discussion about the minutes? Mr. Rosendahl, since you meeting was, so Leary moves, Koretz seconds without objection. Unanimous votes to approve the minutes, with Rosendahl abstaining. Next item, public comment?
Public comment.
Okay. We have several people wish to be heard. I'll ask several of them to come up together. Hannah Bentley. Is Hannah Bentley here? If she's not here, how did she sign her card? Huh? She is here. Okay. Hannah Bentley, Jim Shanman, Kent Strumpel, and Barbara Filt. What is it? Oh, Filet. I'm sorry. This is on, you've asked to be heard on 6B. Thank you for that clarification.
We usually take it all at public comment on
okay.
all the items.
Okay, so you can address 6B. Okay, sorry. Brain dead. Is Hannah here? Oh, we'll get her when she gets back. Jim Shanman, are you here? Come on down. Kent Strumpel, Barbara Filet, okay, so the three, Shanman, Strumpel, and Filet want to be heard on item 6B. I'm not clear on what Ms. Bentley wants to be heard on, but I'm sure she'll let us know. So who wants to go first, Mr. Shanman?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking a bit of time on this. I just want to bring up the issue about the BAC for Phase 2. As it stands right now, it's being directed as a superficial body. It's not being given very much authority or power, and I think Phase 1 shows what happens when we don't have an energized body like that that has some authority. The Clean Mobility Station that's been nearly jettisoned is a clear case in point. So what I'm asking for is that we include on the bikeway design team that there is some bicycle expertise that's actually included as part of that team, and there's some strong oversight from a BAC with regular and frequent meetings so that we can make sure that things stay on track and they're done to the best of the ability. And given Phase 2, we take advantage of that opportunity of having the best bikeway that this city, this county, this country can actually make. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Kent Strumpel. I'm on the City of L.A.'s Bicycle Advisory Committee on the Planning Subcommittee that regularly oversees our review of the Expo Bikeway. I've also been on the Expo Friends for Expo organization that's been promoting the light rail to the community for many years now, and so we're really looking forward to the whole project coming together. I do want to reiterate our concern about the Expo Bicycle Advisory Committee and what's being proposed as for it to meet just at key milestones. We're at 60% in the design now, and the Bicycle Advisory Committee was brought up like 2 years ago, and we're getting quite frustrated that it hasn't met yet, and we think there's a lot of work to do, and we'd like to see it meet immediately and frequently, and that its purview not be restricted to more minor things that were listed, like landscaping and signage. We have security issues, concerns about parking. The crossings are very important. An example is at Rodeo, where now we're revising the strategy for the bikeway crossing there. And we really want to help you make this the best bikeway possible so we don't have to redo things after the fact and spend more money. So with that, I encourage you to not follow the recommended language that's in the proposal, but to instead insist that the Bicycle Advisory Committee meet more frequently.
All right, Barbara.
Yes, hi. I'm Barbara Filet. I'm from Santa Monica, and I've been an active Expo supporter since 1990. And it's just a dream to come true to see this happening. However, we were promised a rail with bike trail, and it's only that, I think, that would really affect our transportation problems here in Los Angeles. The cutting edge in bike design in bellwether cities all across the country now is to physically separate bikes from car traffic, as they do in European countries. In the Netherlands, teenage girls use their bikes more than any other group. And that's because they feel safe, and it's their ticket to freedom. And separated paths is what you need here to get really large numbers of people to abandon their cars and feel safe enough to go out and bike, you know, especially girls and children. And in the Netherlands, they design bike routes to be faster than car routes, and on purpose. And so this really argues for elevating bikeways with the rail over those horrid, complicated intersections to force bikes to negotiate those intersections on the ground is a backwater solution, which will be outdated before it even gets built. We must plan to elevate and determine the cost, and it would also ease traffic flow to do so. And here, a local good example is the Orange Rapid Transit Bus Line and Bike Facility. It's a great local model that we can follow. And please hire a really great bike consultant to help puzzle all this out. There's a lot of issues. And please fully empower the BAC. Its scope should cover all design factors, including elevation, dimensions, crossings, and signalization. And it should meet monthly, as does the Urban Design Committee, starting immediately because we have a lot of catching up to do. And I really look forward to working with you to make our Los Angeles bike dreams come true.
Thank you. You're aware that the Orange Line busway in the San Fernando Valley has no great separation for bikeways. At intersections, they're at grade.
Yeah, the intersections are, but a lot of it is separated. I know we can't separate the whole expo, but sections.
I don't know what you're referring to by separated. When it comes to crossing intersections, they are at grade.
Yeah, the intersections are, but...
Yeah.
Our intersections are going to be much more difficult.
Understood. But I appreciate you saying that it's a model, and I think it is a model. And I don't think there's anything different about the way we're approaching this than the way we handled the Orange Line. I mean, that was the whole idea. But we'll address it more when we get to the item. I hear what you're saying. And we'll talk about it when we get to the item. But I appreciate your testimony. Jonathan Weiss, is Hannah here? Come on up. Hannah Bentley, Jonathan Weiss, Jeff Jacob Berger. And Alexis Lance. Alexis, we're spending every Friday together now. All right, Hannah.
Thank you, Board, Mr. Chair. My name is Hannah Bentley. I'm a resident at the Fusion Complex adjacent to Division 22. For Metro, apparently Expo approved a paint and body shop for within 225 feet of our children's only tot lot on the premises, and the residences along the side of that division do not have cross ventilation. The fumes will go in there. There's no South Coast Air Quality Management District review. This entity apparently issued a notice of exemption. We will be filing an appeal letter with regard to that, at least with Metro, if not with Expo as well. Here's a diagram that I provided to you. There are photos of the children in the tot lot 225 feet away from where you want to put a paint and body shop for three different lines. One of them is Expo. Apparently there's two others. I don't see why it was decided by this board. Thank you.
Okay. Are you familiar with this issue?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In our funding agreement, we agreed to provide Metro funds to build a paint and body shop. It's really up to them as to where they actually locate that facility. So,
is this part of the maintenance facility?
It was originally part of the maintenance facility, but Metro felt that it would be better centrally located so it could be used by several lines, not just the Expo.
Where is this one proposed?
This one is down, it's at the Long Beach maintenance facility, which is, what, Hawthorne?
She's not here from Long Beach.
Oh, it's Greenland.
Where is your...
It's in Hawthorne. It's immediately, it's like 150 feet. I've provided all the board with...
In the city of Hawthorne?
Pictures. Yes, it's in the city of Hawthorne.
Okay.
It's 150 feet from our residences.
I got you. All right. I think this is a metro issue, and I think you should bring it up to the metro, and if you want to be in touch with my deputy, Vivian Riscalvo. Where are you, Vivian? Why don't you guys exchange cards, and we'll make sure that this message gets to them, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for coming all the way up here. Jonathan Weiss.
Good afternoon. I am Jonathan Weiss. I've supported Expo for decades. In 1989, I was part of the committee to preserve the right-of-way, which was commended by the city of Santa Monica for helping to preserve the right-of-way for transportation. I then chaired then-Senator Diane Watson's exposition right-of-way subcommittee, and after the right-of-way was preserved, the committee to preserve the right-of-way became Friends for Expo, and I've been pushing for Expo for those years, including in Cheviot Hills, where I was on the Homeowners Association, stood up to the jeers of the vocal minority in Cheviot Hills. And you'll find that it's being the bikeway and the train are being welcomed by most of the residents now. When Expo was being considered, I helped form Friends for Expo, and I've now been appointed to the City of L.A. Bicycle Advisory Committee. My son went to Oberlin Elementary School. I'll be speaking on their behalf, and I continue to be a part of their committee. The last time I was here was speaking about the Expo Greenway project, and Councilmember Koritz has rallied government and community support for the Greenway, and I wanted to take a moment to thank you again for doing that, thank the board for approving it. The city's moving forward with it. Today I'm speaking for the L.A. Bicycle Advisory Committee and the Overland School Community, and I have three specific requests about the bikeway. The people who ride and walk the streets, some of whom you've heard from today and will continue to hear from, they spend hundreds of hours. I'm recent to the community studying these issues, and they provide incomparable expertise and experience on the streets. They're on these streets. They know the ins and outs, and staff would benefit greatly by having their input and really should have had it for the last 2 years. This board, on February 4th, 2010, directed Expo staff to create a BAC. The second point has to do with the Overland Elementary School. The committee I'm on there was recently presented with a plan. It's a preliminary plan. We still don't have the 60% plan with a bike ped path, and it's using a 20-foot strip of land, city land, leaving the 100-foot right-of-way. And putting the bikeway on that 20-foot city of city land. Unfortunately, that would preclude Overland School from using that city land for a parking lot. Expo or Metro has been allowing a lease of that land for the only parking lot the school has. So I'd like to ask, and this went before the BAC, and of course the Overland School Committee wants it, and if you could keep the bikeway and the ped path and the train on that 100-foot strip of land and leave the 20-foot strip to the city so that we could put school parking on it, that would be great. There was an opportunity to put parking across Overland, which staff suggested, but that would mean crossing what will now be 6 lanes of traffic. It's currently 4 lanes of traffic, and the train track for the families to get to and from the school. It's not just teacher parking. It's where the preschool kids park or parents park, bringing their kids to school. The final point I wanted to ask, this has to do with the elevated bikeway, and Supervisor, you said that the orange line doesn't grade separate the buses or the bikes, clearly. But here we will be grade separating the train, and particularly in the area from Sepulveda to Pico, there will be a train bridge, which provides an unusual opportunity to break out of the gridlock we have. If you were to be driving, I've heard you speak about having to drive from the west side here. And if you were on Pico or Olympic right now, I think it's going to be 10 minutes to get under that freeway. Right now, wait till it gets later. The bikeway, if it's up there with the train, maybe where the emergency walkway is for pedestrians, if the bikeway is up there, that is going to induce people to use the bikes, even if they're not bikers right now, because they won't be stuck in gridlock. The converse is you're creating, if you don't have it on surface, if you do have it on surface streets, you're feeding that bikeway onto surface streets. Now, I know there isn't funding for that right now, but like the Metro Board did yesterday, you voted to have a bid on a station portal for the downtown collector, just so you could have the money. If we know how much it would cost, if Skanska Rados is asked how much more would it cost to put the bikeway up there, we could at least ask someone, whether it's in Washington or somewhere else, if we could come up with that money.
The difference between that and this is that they are not anywhere near the position in the project that we're in. We've already gone through that that stage. We have started construction. We're not going to stop construction now to redo the EIR. We have been sued. We are not going to do anything, and I wouldn't recommend doing anything, to reopen our environmental at this stage of the game. It's going to cost us enough, potentially, just the delays that are associated with this, if there are going to be any delays. So it's a different situation, and this has been bid out. The contract has been signed. We're not in a position to renegotiate that deal.
The bikeway hasn't been bid out, and I know we met with your staff. Michelle Mowry was there.
No, but the elevated bridge over Sepulveda has been bid out, and we were barely able to pay for that train bridge over the Great Separation over Sepulveda, and it was thanks to Councilman Koretz
and
Rosendahl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I guess what I'm saying is that if it doesn't change the EIR, and I maybe shouldn't spend so much time introducing myself, but I want you to know I've been fighting for this.
Because we know you. You didn't need it.
Well, some do, and I, you know, Denny Zane was there, not Pam O'Connor, and I, you know, I've only shaken hands with the mayor of Culver City. I didn't want to make it sound like I'm an opponent. I've been fighting for this and living with it. I'm, like everyone else, thrilled that this is coming. This room is full of people who are pretty excited about what you're doing.
I appreciate your support, too.
If this means reopening EIR, it's a problem. I'd like to know if it does, and if there is a walkway on that, an emergency walkway on that bridge that could be converted to a bikeway. That's something worth asking. So it's really a question of could we add on to it, or could it be engineered a little heavier so we could cantilever a bike bridge onto it 20 years from now? That may not change the design, and I think it's worth asking because it would be really a third dimension to a train and a bikeway, which we have right now.
Okay.
Thanks so much for your
time. Thank you. Jeff Jacoburger.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Jacoburger. I'm also a member of the City of LA's Bicycle Advisory Committee and co-chair of our Bikeways subcommittee. Metro with rail bike projects has made some mistakes in the past. I think the orange line, there are a lot of unnecessary conflicts between bikes and pedestrians at major crossings, and there's really no transition from the North Hollywood Metro Station to the bike lanes. And Expo Phase 1, particularly that block between La Cienega and National, the design is unsafe and inconvenient, and that's at a location where it intersects with the Biona Creek Bikeway that really ought to be a jewel for a regional bikeway network, and right now really is an embarrassment. And, you know, we haven't been doing very many of these, so making mistakes is okay. But I think a failure to learn from our mistakes is not okay. And so I think the BAC must be appointed and begin meeting immediately, and it must be empowered to provide really meaningful input on critical design issues, and that's rail and station alignment to ensure that there's room for separated bike paths in as much space as possible and minimize on-street bikeways. And that's often a matter of inches, so the Bicycle Advisory Committee needs to be involved in design issues really immediately. Also, places where interfacing with motorists and pedestrians and, you know, crime safety issues, because particularly women bicyclists aren't going to ride where they feel it's unsafe, where they're likely to be subject to victims of crime. And there are some places where that's been done in the past, and those mistakes should not be repeated. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Alexis.
Good to spend another Friday with you. Thanks for your time.
The last one was more pleasurable, though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm going to reiterate just a lot of what you've heard today. Creating a multimodal and greener Los Angeles County is important for all of us. So having good design is crucial with this bike path. So the Bicycle Advisory Committee is something we really see as being integral to making sure that the design of this project really works for folks of all abilities and skills. So LA County does not spend $16 million on a bike facility very often. We really need to ensure this project is done right. And we need to have strong oversight by the users that are going to be, by the folks who are using this facility. So we'd like to see a bicycle advisory, as you've heard others say, start immediately, meet monthly, and really be focused on the engineering sides of this project. So looking at the pavement qualities, the signage, the signalization, all of these considerations, not just landscaping. There's a lot to consider, and we also hope that you will bring on a designer who has training in doing this type of work, and also someone who actually rides a bicycle. As we've seen, a lot of our engineers are very skilled, but they don't actually experience the roadway from the position of a bicycle. So we'd really like to make sure whomever we bring on is going to feel comfortable getting out there and riding and experiencing the roadways and the facility the way the people who are going to use it will. Thank you so much for your
Thanks.
Time.
Thanks. Thank you, Alexis. Do you have any other public comments? Eric Shapsis? There is. Okay. This will be the last public comment.
Thank you, Board Chair and members. My name is Eric Shapsis. I live in Cheviot Hills, and I'm a parent of a kindergartner at Overland Avenue Elementary School. I'm here to speak in support of you proceeding with the Expo Bikeway and Pet Path. I want to echo the comments of Jonathan Weiss relative to the school and ask that the Expo Authority work with the contractor to ensure that the bike pet path across the street from the school is on the metro right-of-way so that there is perhaps the ability for us to continue working with Councilmember Corrett's office and others in the city family to use that 20-foot right-of-way for additional school parking. So on behalf of those of us who live in Cheviot who are very excited about the rail and expo line coming through, certainly not coming to us fast enough, but and also having a bike path, we thank you for what you are doing, and we hope that we can continue to work with Expo on ways to interact safely and efficiently with the school and the right-of-way. Thank you.
Thank you. That closes the public hearing. Let's go on to the next item on the agenda.
Item 5A, consent calendar.
I'll move it.
It's moved, seconded by Rosenfeld. Any discussion? Without objection, unanimous vote. Item 6.
Item 6A, Phase 2 National Palms Betterment.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, we're bringing this item to you. We have been asked by the City of L.A. Department of Transportation to modify our plans. Our original scope of work for that area was approved as part of the environmental. It went through preliminary engineering, and we're now at 60% complete plans, and the contractor is right now on hold waiting for a decision on this so he can proceed to 85% plans. This area is a critical path where he wants to get started work first, so we need to move expeditiously. The city has asked that we eliminate some pork chop islands that have been there for a long time. I don't know how long, but they would prefer that we modify the intersection to eliminate those islands. It can be done, but right now we're estimating a very significant cost to do that, roughly about $500,000. So the issue has really become one of a dispute between the city staff and authority staff, in which the city believes it's a safety issue. The authority staff believes that it is really a desirable treatment that the city would like, and therefore it would fall under a betterment request where the city would be obligated to pay the cost. And so in order to get the project moving, we're recommending that we do what the city is asking for, and in the master cooperative agreement we have the ability to seek a arbitrator, mutually agreed upon arbitrator that would be brought in and under the terms of the MCA would render a decision within 5 days. And that would then resolve that dispute. And if it was a safety issue, we would have to take the money out of our contingency. If it's a betterment issue, then the city would have to ultimately find the funds. So we continue to work with the city to try to find lower cost solutions and still do what they like to do. We will continue to negotiate, but failing that, we would like authorization to enter into arbitration should we not be able to reach agreement.
Director Rosenthal.
A question. Arbitration costs money. How much are we talking about for arbitration?
The arbitrator, according to the MCA, the arbitrator, you've got two options. One, if both parties can agree to an arbitrator, which is I certainly would think we could do that, you would have one arbitrator. If you can agree, then each party selects an arbitrator, and those two arbitrators select a third. That gets very expensive. But in the terms of the MCA, the arbitrator has to render a decision in 5 days. So I don't know exactly. It depends on what arbitrator it is, but I can't imagine it be more than $5,000 to $10,000.
I'm just curious because staff should be able to get together and work these things out. Obviously, my city is very concerned about some safety aspects. And why don't you consider them, or is there something that I shouldn't know or whatever?
No,
safety's always number one.
No, we've considered them. There's no question about it. I think the issue is that we've been working with the city since the beginning through the environmental documents. We've gone through preliminary engineering. The California Public Utilities Commission has agreed on what we're doing at that intersection, and now at when we're ready to go to 85% design, the issue comes up, and these things, you know, should have been resolved before. We as staff believe that it's a betterment, just very similar to the way we have worked with the city of Santa Monica, and to the extent a city wants something, that is a betterment per the terms of the MCA. If they're willing to pay for it, we move forward with it.
What's your dollar figure for the betterment notion?
$500,000 right now.
Paul, Director Kurtz.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got a few comments. Number one, public safety is public safety. Whenever in the process an issue is identified like this, I don't think it's a betterment. I think it's an issue of public safety, and I think we should be treating it as such. I know in our conversations with DOT and BOE staff, they think the cost is actually significantly lower. So I would ask that the contractor and Expo staff work with appropriate city departments to try and get a more detailed and possibly much more accurate cost breakdown. And it's possible the design recommendations, if they're lower, those extra costs for the northeast corner could be covered partially from the bikeway budget. I'd also like to suggest one minor amendment to the wording of this item, because I think it's somewhat prejudicial as it is now. Wherever it says betterments, I'd like to have that betterments / traffic safety mitigations, so that we're not judging which of those it is. I'd also ask that we request Expo staff and the contractor, if and when there's a more detailed breakdown, before we take the issue to arbitration, to sit down with city agencies and the mayor's office and Councilmember Weston's office and myself and Councilmember Rosenthal's office, and see if there's some way we can work out an agreement. I think it's the whole Expo project is important to the region, and I think in the spirit of partnership, we should be able to find a path to resolve an important safety issue that hopefully comes in at a modest cost.
Okay. Can I just suggest that we not use the term safety, if you want to just call it modifications, which is a neutral word, because I don't think the agency wants to concede that it's a safety issue. Mr. Thorpe, did the L.A. City Department of Transportation comment on this when the this is part of the environmental impact report?
That's correct.
The existing proposed design.
That's correct. It's the baseline.
The one that
design.
The city is now construing as a safety issue, the basic design. Did LADOT comment on this particular intersection or this particular issue?
No, not until just recently.
Did they comment on other issues relating to the EIR for the Phase 2 of Expo?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, so somewhere since the EIR was certified, somebody at the city, apparently not DOT, although DOT has now been induced to get into this, did not see this as a safety issue. Somebody had a better idea, and I'm not knocking the better idea. The issue is not whether it's a good idea or not. It's a good idea. It's just a question of who pays for it. And we have been holding Culver City and the city of Santa Monica to the very same standard that he's proposing to hold the city of Los Angeles, which is if it's a betterment, the people seeking the betterment ought to pay for it. And the only reason to go to arbitration is if the city, I mean, there's a provision in the Phase 2 program that if there is a dispute between between us and anybody on something like this, that we can go to an arbitration, resolve it quickly. There is an alternative, I think, that is it, am I getting this right or am I confusing it with something else? Is an alternative that you had proposed that is less expensive than $500,000?
That's correct.
And how much does that alternative cost?
We haven't really costed out, but probably less than $100,000.
Okay. Have you proposed that to the city?
Yes, but it still maintains the Pork Chop Island. So,
right.
So that's
they want
still
an elimination
concern.
Of the Pork Chop Island,
right.
Completely.
But the city, in all fairness, the city does, we have talked about one of the biggest costs is storm drainage. And by bulbing it out, you prevent the storm drainage. And so if we follow city standards, we have to put drop inlets and tie it into the whole storm drain system. If there's a way in which we can work with the city to allow the water to go essentially underneath a sidewalk area and keep the current drainage the way it is, we can substantially lower the cost.
Is that something that you're working with the city on?
That's what our intent would be. The trouble with this is that we don't meet again until March, and so we need to.
What you're requesting is authority now, is our authority to spend advance $500,000 for the optimum.
That's correct.
What the city wants, and then go to arbitration. Unless if something gets resolved in the meantime, that doesn't preclude something being resolved in the meantime. In fact,
right.
It probably puts pressure on everybody to try to get a resolution.
That's correct.
Just having this sort of Damocles hanging over everybody.
That was the idea behind it, we would continue to work with the city, try to get the cost down a lot lower, and then determine if we can reach an agreement. If we can't, then I would have the authority to go to arbitration.
All right. That
sounds like you're working out a solution that makes sense. So I'm happy to do that as long as we change the wording on this motion.
Let's call it modification instead of betterment.
And try hard to work together to actually come up with an agreed resolution that's less expensive.
Okay. Any other discussion on item 6A? Not. Motion by Rosenfeld, seconded by O'Connor without objection. Unanimous vote on 6A. Let's go to 6B.
6B, Phase 2 Bikeway Preliminary Engineering.
This is the issue that you've been hearing a lot about, and it's we're at now finally at a point where we can move forward, or getting very close to a point where we can move forward with the bikeway facilities. Up until now, we did not have the funding. We still do not have the funding in place. And so we really had no mechanism to enter into any kind of contract with the contractor to incorporate the bikeway design with the light rail project. We're now getting very close. Metro has approved the agreements yesterday to start that. We still need the CTC approval to provide the funding. We now have environmental clearance on the bikeway, so we think we're now in a position to move forward at least with the preliminary engineering. Because the bikeway is integral to the design of the light rail, we believe it's going to be the most cost-effective and efficient way is to have the current contractor also do the bikeway design and construction at the same time as they're doing the light rail construction. So our recommendation is to enter into a sole source contract with Skanska Rados, who is our current light rail contractor, in an amount not to exceed $16 million, which is the amount budgeted for this project, also create the bikeway committee that you have heard the speakers talk about.
Okay.
I'd like to comment, Mr. Chair, on this. The cyclists that you see in the room that spoke, they've come before here before. They've come before our city council for the couple of years I've been chair of the committee. And I got to say, their input is vital and critical for me to do what I'm doing in the city. We now have a five-year bike plan. Not have happened without the leadership from the cycling community banging on the doors and doing an effective job of getting their point out. I think it's critical, this bike path, as much as I believe the light rail itself is critical, and that the cyclists committee, the bike advisory committee, has to start meeting. February, I'm suggesting, would be the first meeting, pull these people together and meet monthly, like some of the speakers said. Every bit of their energy is a plus. I rode a bike the other day after 30 years. I'm still very nervous. I'm not as good as Zev out there. I know he's out there and his son and all.
Yeah, you should have seen the poll I took.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm nervous. And if they're not engaged in the early steps, I don't want to come back and say, oh, they should have been that and they're running out of time. Create that committee now. Let the first meeting happen in February. And then on a monthly basis, they will report to me and my transportation committee. And hopefully it will always be good news. We're totally involved. We're totally engaged. We're part of the process. We explain this about that, which only a cyclist can do, to be honest with you, if they're in the bike all the time. It isn't an engineer who understands engineering. If the engineer knows how to cycle and ride all the time, like my deputy over there, Paul Backstrom, he rides his bike all the time. So I know when he talks to me, he's got the real experience. And you do, too, which
yeah,
I'm thrilled to hear. So how about that? Can we get it going?
Yes, what I would encourage is I can't create the bike committee. It's up to the board to create the bike committee. So we need your appointments.
I'll make a motion to create it immediately, and I'll be more than happy to submit people on.
Okay, I thought we had a proposal to do that.
It's part of the recommendation, so I might want to quickly go through that.
Go ahead. Keep going, and then we'll come back to
this. One representative from Council District 5, one from Council District 11, one from Supervisory District 2, one from District 3, two representatives from Santa Monica, and one appointed by the Metro Board Chair, who is the mayor.
Just curious about the two for Santa Monica. I love Santa Monica and all, but we're a huge area before that. Can we have a third one, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good point. You have a bunch from L.A.
Right.
But from their their perspective, they're being outnumbered.
Okay, I got three from L.A. and
county supervisors. What,
may I add to the conversation?
Yes, Director O'Leary.
Just like my learned colleague here, I too got on my bike now a couple of times and have been pleasantly surprised at times and disappointed at other times with the current bike path that I discovered for the first time. And there is no more valuable experience than the people that are out there. I went with Jim Shanman, for example, on both of the occasions that I broke out the bike, and he was able to give me the history, what the plans are for the bikeway system in Los Angeles, an overview. So even if Culver City doesn't have the ability to appoint, I would love to see that people interested at least have a process by which they can apply to the committee. It's not necessarily because they live in Santa Monica or in a certain part of Los Angeles. This is a connector. This is a way for people to get from place to place. And sometimes the people who would know better how to traverse Culver City are people from Los Angeles. So I wouldn't even be trying to necessarily say that somebody from Culver City is going to know best about how to get around through and around Culver City. It's the people who are coming through would know better. So my point would be that we would at least have a process where people could apply. Board Member O'Connor may not know somebody who has a bike or rides or is familiar with the bike paths. I would love to know that everyone would at least have numerous choices.
I have two choices right now. Third candidate.
I wasn't picking on you.
I think you make a good point, and I think anybody who's interested should let any of us or all of us know. I intend to appoint somebody who's knowledgeable in bicycle ways and bicycle bikeways, bikeway construction, and I hope most of us, if not all of us, will do that, so that we have a good group of people. There's no point in wasting everybody's time having people who don't know what they're talking about involved in this. I do want to caution about one thing, in the spirit of truth in advertising here, I don't want anybody's expectations to be raised that we're going to re-engineer the grade crossings or build any new grade crossings. That dog isn't going to hunt on this, and I do want you to answer, not necessarily today, but in the next week or so, the question that was raised by one of the individuals about the emergency space that there is on the elevated grade crossing. If there's a way on the existing grade crossing, without reopening the environmental, if there's any way we can make room for the bikeway, because if we can, it would be a much greater amenity than not doing it, if we can. But if it's going to jeopardize the environmental, reopen it in any way, or expose us to litigation, I'd argue it either way. If I was against the light rail line, I could say any change has at least a negative deck or something. But on the other hand, we have a bikeway plan for these grade crossings. Ours is at grade, the other one would be elevated. I just don't know whether you have the room to do it, or whether you can not so much re-engineer it as a way to restripe it, move a few things, move the furniture a little this way, and if there is an emergency corridor there now, if there's a way to accommodate both the emergency situation and the bikeway on any of our grade crossing, elevated grade crossings, it would be worthwhile. And you know, we are dead. You've been charged with the responsibility to keep this on budget. We don't want to repeat a phase one. And so we're adhering on every nickel and dime to the budget we have. And I wish we could fast forward and telescope this and see 2-3 years down the line that we're $100 billion to the good. Then we'd have the ability to do the thing that the city wants and a few other improvements, but we just can't make that commitment now because we need to make sure we finish the base project that we have signed up for. And if we don't, it jeopardizes the project, the rail project, and it delays it, it creates other problems, that sort of thing. But I do want you to look at this, Rick, and see if there's a way that within the existing guideway, with a de minimis amount of expense, you may save. Not going to do on the at grade. You could spend on the bridge. It would be a good thing. I don't want to miss that opportunity if there is one. I think they bring up a very good point.
Again.
The other thing, if I could just take a minute on the issues that were raised by the members of the public, all of which were good issues and good points, is I want the advisory committee, I think we all want the advisory committee to be more than just window dressing. If I'm going to ask somebody, if any of us are going to ask somebody who knows, you know, to take their time, even though they're passionate about this issue, it's still taking their time, engage in this, in this volunteer effort, then we ought to treat them with respect and treat them as an asset, not as a liability, because they are an asset. And all I ask you in return to do is if they end up, we all end up saying we can't do what you want, there has to be a final decision. It's either yes or no, and if it's no, let's move on. This one thing I don't want the advisory committee to do is engineer this project. I know these folks; they're good people. They'll engineer the best bikeway in the history of mankind, which I'd love to see. We just can't afford that. But I do want them engaged, in the process, so that they see something that we're doing that's stupid. We're walking off a bicycle cliff, so to speak. That they can say, hey, you can't do that because X. And if you don't have anybody who knows what they're doing, then there's a much greater probability that we're gonna make mistakes. I think we should try to avoid to make those mistakes. And to the extent that you need us to police them from not trying to engineer it, but be truly advisory, let me know. By the same token, I ask them, if you're being shined on by them, you let me know. And we'll be fair referees on this. I do think I wish this. In one respect, I wish we were a year down the road on this because so much is being done all over the country and even all over our county that maybe we would have looked at it a little more comprehensively. But we're constrained by the budget and by what the taxpayers allowed us to spend. But I think we could. The worst case scenario is this going to be a great bikeway. The Orange Line started as a pretty anemic bikeway. I was out there a lot. I jogged on that bikeway a lot, and now it's getting a lot of usage. And I think as people get more into bicycles, you have three people who've confessed that they've just started using their bikes. For me and Rosendahl to have gotten on bikes is should have been an environmental impact report. I think it's the wave of the future, and we ought to catch this wave if we can. Let's see if I had any other comments I wanted to make. Okay, I think I've said everything I needed to say.
You cover some of my comments about the expectations. We don't want unrealistic expectations, but yet there's a lot that can be contributed. The Santa Monica, it will be by City Council as a body who's appointing them. But we can get that on an agenda pretty quickly. So we won't. I'm not Queen of Santa Monica, so I can't appoint.
Oh, I don't know,
Brad. I know, darn. I'd like to be. In terms of how the committee meets, I think we should not have the expectation that it's monthly. Maybe it is monthly, but I think if it's going to be a working committee, in a sense, could be there's a period where you're needed twice a month, and maybe then there's a gap of 2 months. I don't know, but I would hope that it would be seen as, again, trailing on your comments, that it is a working group with a purpose, and, again, not just let's meet once a month on either side saying let's meet once a month just for the sake of meeting. So a committee that is really active and that focused on what the purpose is and understands both the limitations but also the opportunities there. As just the limitations are you're not going to re-engineer it all, but, again, there's still opportunities in the design and how it's going to operate that can make it a much better line with the input from a bike advisory committee.
Paul.
Well, number one, I have to join with the people that hadn't ridden a bicycle in a long time. And Zev knows I went on a long bike ride recently when we began some of the 405 work.
You rode the bike, let's be specific, you rode the bike all the way up to Mulholland, which better than me, I'll tell you.
I'm not sure that should have been my first bike ride in 10 years, but... But I think it's important, as we all know, that we make this a world-class bikeway. It's a great opportunity, and we don't want to make this a missed opportunity. So anything we can do, I'm certainly behind it. And I understand there was a bikeway meeting today, and I heard that that went very well and that the contractor understands some of the challenges and is already working to address them. So I'm very encouraged that this will turn out well, and whatever I can do to support it, certainly.
Okay.
Okay, macho guys, my last bike ride was about 3 years ago in Lyon, France, on a bike share for the city of Lyon on the streets.
Excellent. All right, Rosenfeld, do you want to tell us about your bicycle experiences? All right. Is there any other discussion? If not, is there a motion to approve 6B as described by this conversation?
And so moved.
Including the appointing of the advisory committee, bike advisory committee. It's moved. A correct, seconded by Rosendahl without objection, unanimous vote. Please stay in touch with us. We will have an open line of communication on this. And when would you want us to appoint the committee? In the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, or less. And we'll do that. I mean, I'll have mine within 2 weeks or less, and encourage everybody else to do the same. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for coming down and for your support of this project, too. Next item.
Item 6C, Phase 2 Santa Monica Local Contribution Funding Agreement.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this probably shouldn't be too hard. The city of Santa Monica wants to give us a lot of money, and I think we ought to take it.
I'll move it again. I did it.
Just to go into it a little bit for everybody's benefit, is the funding agreement that we have with Metro requires a 3% local contribution by the cities that it goes through. That totals about $45 million. One-third of the line goes through Santa Monica, so that equates to their $16.5 million share of the bikeway funds, or excuse me, the local contribution funds. So staff has been working very hard with Santa Monica on developing a funding agreement. The funding agreement has also been vetted with Metro. And we're ready, I think, with this agreement in place to accept the money that Santa Monica wants to give us. And the agreement says basically that they would provide us those funds by February 1st. So we'll have those funds very soon, assuming you approve this item.
Okay. And we have the protection language in it.
Yes, we have inserted the protection language that basically says that
if they don't get the
funding,
development money,
yeah,
then
right.
We can
whatever the funding
money.
Source, they're it's up to them to determine what funding source, but they're obligated to provide
okay.
the 16F.
Any questions? Moved by O'Connor, second by Rosenfeld, without objection, unanimous vote. 6D.
Phase 2 Terminus Betterment Funding Agreement.
Very similar at the last board meeting. We had talked to the board, and they authorized us to enter into preliminary engineering for the relocation of the terminus station in Santa Monica. We went through a lot of the benefits that this would provide and indicated that Santa Monica was willing to fund a significant additional cost as a betterment. Our current estimate is about $8.4 million to make the modifications that they requested. I think everybody thinks that this will result in a much better terminus station in Santa Monica. We don't know exactly how much this will be, and so the idea would be that they would provide the $450,000 that was approved at the last board meeting immediately so we can conclude the preliminary engineering. At that point, we would negotiate with the contractor the final cost to do the improvements. In the meantime, we would put the $8.4 million into escrow account until we had a final cost. And if the cost was less, we would get less, that Santa Monica would just basically pay whatever the actual cost is, assuming it's less than 8.4. If it's over 8.4, then we would sit back down with Santa Monica and either reduce the scope or get their agreement to add additional costs. So that's pretty much what the summary of what this agreement does. And we encourage you to approve this so that Santa Monica can fund this betterment.
Okay. Any discussion? Moved by O'Connor, second by Rosendahl. Without objection, unanimous vote. Yes.
What I'd like to ask you, because L.A. City has our stops coming in too, have you sat with staff and gone through it, and were there some areas where maybe betterment would have made sense that we should have focused on or should focus on at this point, including, I just want to say, restrooms. I believe in restrooms. Whatever the policy was in the past, I want them in my stops. Are these issues on the table from our city? Because I think what Santa Monica did was extraordinary and great.
Those are more policy decisions from Metro. And, you know, typically they don't provide public restrooms at the various station stops. They depend on adjacent facilities like in Santa Monica. Yeah. But those are primarily decisions by Metro because they're the long-term operators of the facility.
Okay, so you're getting on the record that I'm coming from that position. Okay. With Metro. It's, to me, necessary part of our reality as humans to have bathrooms, and I don't need an inconvenience or an embarrassment if I have those issues for me or anybody else. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm a diabetic. I have to go to the restroom more frequently than most, and if there are no restrooms, it's uncivilized. Whatever the issues are about safety, you know, you think we have to work that stuff out.
Paul Kretz.
Just to add to that, I'm not sure that every stop is in a highly commercial area. I'm not sure that you necessarily want people getting off and having to knock on people's doors to use their facilities and try and find somebody home.
Okay.
That strikes me as really bad planning, so I'm hoping we won't go in that direction.
Okay.
You know, all over the world there are rail stations without restrooms. Wanted to point that out.
All right. Points taken. Points noted. Director Koretz, did you want to make a motion for the next month's agenda?
Under board member comments.
Oh, we're not there yet. Okay. Project status update, can we dispense with that today? That's okay.
Yeah, I don't believe there's anything.
Is there anything noteworthy that you want to call to our attention?
Presentation?
No, I guess just the news that we had reported we were having issues with the signaling system at the junction. We think we have those resolved, and we believe that Metro is intending to go into pre-revenue operations on Monday, which we hope would then end with a setting of a rod date. So that's
yeah,
good news to report.
That is good news. I appreciate work that Rick and his staff have been doing, you and Art Leahy and the Metro team to get this thing off dead center finally, and so we can anticipate an opening in a couple of months, which is what we're all shooting for. Less than a couple, about a couple of months, I would hope. Shoot for before April. That would be a good thing. Okay. So we're going to, with that, that takes care of item 7. Rick, do you have any comments under CAO?
No, I don't have any further
comments.
All right.
We're on number 9, Paul.
I have a motion from Councilmember Parks, which I'd like to introduce on his behalf, relating to safety at one of the stops. And I'll read it into the record. The Exposition Authority recently began pre-revenue testing along Expo Line Phase 1. During this time, there have been observations of potential automobile and bicyclist conflicts at the unusually complicated intersection of Exposition, Gramercy, and Rodeo. Many bicyclists and motorists are not obeying the new signage and pavement markings, thereby approaching too close to rail cars as they cross the intersection. Intersection design was prepared by the Expo Authority's consultants with input and oversight by LADOT, and the crossing design was approved by the California Public Utilities Commission as part of the applications granting the Expo Authority permission to build the Expo line. Unfortunately, the previous confusing intersection configuration is further complicated by light rail vehicles, and additional safety measures may be necessary. I therefore move that the Expo Board direct the CAO to report on the need and feasibility of installing additional safety measures at the intersection of Exposition Gramercy Rodeo, along with the cost estimates for any recommended changes to reduce potential bicycle, pedestrian, automobile, and train conflict.
Okay, so we'll have that on the next meeting's agenda. All right, anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Rosenfeld moves, O'Connor seconds. Without objection, unanimous vote.
Yeah, go get on those bikes.
I have nothing else I can do.